Hey, if you're looking for a great holiday gift for the Boston Celtics fan in your life, try my book, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, The Best Players at Each Position for the Seas. I went all the way back to the beginning of Boston Celtics history and picked two players at each position, plus two wild cards and two coaches, to put together an all-star team of all Boston Celtics greats. It was a very difficult process. I left some very important people off, but in the end, I think I've put together an amazing all-star team from Boston Celtics history. So go to wherever you can buy books, online or in stores, The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, The Best Players at Each Position for the Seas, is now available. So go ahead and get a copy for the Boston Celtics fan in your life. Marcus Smart, offensive threat? Plus, Carson Edwards says he's staying ready. What else is he going to do? And missed opportunities, a side effect of the COVID plan. Going to talk about it right here on this Tuesday, Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. Woo. This the truth like 34. Yeah. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. I'm John Corrales, Boston Celtics beat reporter for MassLive.com and host of the Locked On Celtics podcast. Welcome back to those of you who are returning, and to you, the new listener, I say welcome, and I hope you enjoy the show. By the end, I hope you subscribe. Listen to the whole thing. Make your decision. I'm hoping that you'll like it. Today, in segment one, I'm talking about Marcus Smart and this weird situation that he's in, having to be an offensive threat. In segment two, Carson Edwards saying he's staying ready. In fact, he found 10 different ways to say he's staying ready today in Boston at their after practice. In segment three, an interesting thing from Brad Stevens, a side effect of COVID-19, the plan, the NBA restart, the NBA's new season, I should say. All of that in segment three. I want to start here with Marcus Smart, though. It's a question that I asked Brad Stevens after the Monday practice, which was delayed because of technical difficulties with their testing equipment. They wanted to practice at 1 o'clock or 11 a.m., and they had to wait a few hours because the stuff that tested them for COVID, just there was technical difficulties. Something didn't work. That's where we are nowadays. But talked about Marcus Smart because when we've talked about Jason Tatum obviously being a potential MVP candidate, right? He's going to have to be MVP level player if the Celtics are going to go anywhere. Jaylen Brown, potential all-star, a guy who's going to need to, the Celtics are going to need him to step up. But who's third? Who's the third option here? With Kemba gone for a while, who's the third scoring option? Who's the third most important player on offense? It's Marcus Smart, right? So Marcus Smart is going to have to be a bigger offensive contributor. And I thought that was important to ask Brad Stevens about this because Marcus Smart, as an offensive contributor, has a, I want to say, fairly limited role. But the problem with Marcus Smart is, offensively, when he tries to do too much, it starts to go bad offensively. That Marcus Smart needs to play kind of within himself, but the Celtics still need him to do more. So Marcus Smart is the best defensive player on the Boston Celtics, one of a handful of the best defensive players in the NBA. I don't think anybody's really going to dispute that. When it comes to perimeter defense, it starts with Marcus Smart, okay? And there are others who are also really, really good and at that same level, but Marcus Smart on the perimeter is maybe the best defensive player in the NBA. Offensively, though, there are issues. Sometimes he takes too many threes. Sometimes he will try to do too much too soon. So ask Brad Stevens, with Marcus Smart having to take on a bigger offensive role, what does he need to change? What do you need to do to facilitate this? So his quote, I'll read it. I don't think we're going to play any differently with regard to him. I think the biggest thing is you play to the strength of each individual. Marcus has obviously improved his shooting, especially in the catch and shoots off actions. He's always been a guy that read the game well. So we'll play him in pick and rolls. We'll post them against some matchup advantages. Nothing too dissimilar from what you've seen before. I think one of the things that you don't want to do is get away from guys' strengths. What we have to do as we are down scorers is obviously play through our best players when the strengths of the others have to complement them. Other guys have some strengths that we can use to help put the ball in the basket as well. So Marcus Smart, in this scenario here through Brad, still going to do a lot of the same things. Not going to try to expand his offensive game. Not going to try to have him do more. It's going to be a lot of pick and roll. Marcus Smart is good at the pick and roll. He's a really good pick and roll point guard. Offensively, Marcus Smart, run the pick and roll, throw the lobs if you can throw the lob, kick it out if you can kick it out. The number one thing that Marcus Smart needs to do to be an offensive contributor is increase his two-point percentage, because his two-point percentage has been horrible. His three-point percentage has moved into, over the past 2 years, a reasonable league average type of place. This year, it was down to 34.5%, you know, rounded up to a little bit more than that, 34.7. So like right around 34, 35, and then 36.5% last year. So league average-ish. And on 6.5 attempts, that works out very well for Marcus Smart. Like that's actually pretty good. But 37.5% on two-pointers is terrible. And historically, he's not shot well on two-pointers. So what's that mean? That means that he needs to finish better at the rim. And I'm hoping that having Tristan Thompson is going to help him with that, because a lot of his second unit run last year, it came with Enes Kanter. It came with, you know, Robert Williams, who wasn't always in the right spots, but he didn't have the benefit of playing with Daniel Theis as much or ever with Tristan Thompson. The thing that drove me absolutely effing crazy with Enes Kanter on offense was every time he set a pick, he always rolled, because he's never going to pop. He always rolled and dove straight down to the basket. Not really in a get me the ball kind of way. In a let me get in position for an offensive rebound kind of way. And he always brought a defender, another person into the lane. And that drove me nuts, because all he did was clog the lane so many times. But then what would happen is his guy would go challenge the layup. So it made whoever was driving, it made that layup more difficult, but it put him in position to tip in the rebound. So on the surface, it looked like, oh, wow, man, Enes Kanter always in position to get that offensive rebound. Yeah, because that's the only damn thing that he ever wanted to do was offensive rebound or post up and try to bulldoze his way to the basket. Drove me nuts. That's gone. Tristan Thompson is going to set real picks and roll to the basket with a goal of either looking for a lob, looking for a catch, catching the ball, reading what's happening, passing out of the roll. That's going to change things dramatically. Marcus Smart running pick and roll with Daniel Theis now has a popping option. If they play drop coverage, Daniel Theis can just pop out to the elbow, pop out to the three-point line. That's going to open things up. So if they decide to change up their coverage, maybe Marcus Smart in a pick and roll situation or a pick and pop situation with Daniel Tice can get some room to get to the basket. He needs to get to the hoop to increase that 37.5% field goal percentage from two to get that up into the 45% range. His career best was last season, the year, season before, at 42.2%. But that's the only time his effective field goal percentage was up over 50, two seasons ago. That needs to happen again this season. That is a priority for the Boston Celtics. His true shooting percentage last year was up over 50, which is great, but 2 years ago was at just about 57%. It needs to be up at that level. That true shooting percentage needs to be up closer to 60 for Marcus Smart to be totally effective. And that can be done by getting to the rim, finishing some easy layups, getting that two-point percentage up, getting to the free throw line a little bit more. He only took 2.5 free throws. Now, that's something else that's going to have to increase. And not by a ton, but like, up by 1.5, get it to 3.5 or 4. That's not necessarily Marcus Smart's game, but those little things are going to be what makes him an effective offensive player. And the Celtics need him to be an effective offensive player. It's not jacking more threes. I don't want to see him taking 10 threes a game. It's about the layups. It's about finishing with better efficiency in the two-point area, running those pick and rolls, and I really do think that those pick and roll partners, pick and pop partners maybe, are going to be a huge difference for Marcus Smart on offense this year. Up next, Carson Edwards, Aaron Nesmith, two guys that the Celtics are going to potentially lean on. Carson Edwards says, "I'm staying ready, baby." We're going to talk about that next. Now, I don't know who needs to hear this, but you deserve to feel better than you do today. Now, you know, if you follow me on Twitter, I'm a very huge proponent of mental health. Mental health is massively important in life, and not enough people take it seriously. Well, now you can with Headspace. It's a meditation app, and they make it very simple. It's your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. Headspace is one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation, Headspace really can help you feel better. Are you overwhelmed? Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation for you. Do you need help falling asleep? Headspace has a wind-down session that members swear by. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations that you can do with your kids. Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. It's backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. You deserve to feel happier. And Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/lockedonNBA. That's headspace.com/lockedonNBA for a 1 month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now. Head to headspace.com/lockedonNBA today. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Hey, remember, every Friday is a mailbag Friday. So email me your questions at jcorrales@masslive.com. jcorrales@masslive.com. I will answer every question, Celtics, NBA, or whatever else, if you'd like. Have some fun with it. I'm going to answer them either on this podcast or on masslive.com. So send me your emails, jcorrales@masslive.com, and I'll get to the mailbag every Friday. One of the things that Brad Stevens was talking about at his Monday media availability was the young guys, the need for them to step up. Also, Carson Edwards spoke, and we got a little bit from Carson Edwards. Starting first with Brad, though, he was asked about Aaron Nesmith, and he says flat out, he just needs to learn as quickly as possible. That's, again, another indication. Brad Stevens saying, we need this guy now. We need you now. Get ready now. Are you ready yet? Not yet? Okay, how about now? Like, that's, I need you ready as soon as possible. He's a good shooter. More from Brad. He's a good shooter. He's a smart kid. I think he'll pick things up very quickly, but there's a lot to pick up. Making shots at the college level is much different than making shots at the professional level. Not just the line, not just the longer game, the speed of the game, the shot challenges, all that stuff. And I've talked a lot about how Aaron Nesmith is going to be potentially one of the guys that the Celtics lean on. He has to be one of the guys the Celtics lean on. There are very few options right now on this bench. The Celtics need Kemba Walker to get healthy, and they need to get somebody with that TPE to add a couple of players. And then this way, the depth chart at least pushes the Celtics to maybe 8 useful rotation players, 8 or 9. So, but until then, they need Aaron Nesmith. And he's the guy I'm looking at, because Peyton Pritchard might help. I don't know. And maybe I'm overlooking him. Maybe that's something that's just part of his, he's always going to get overlooked. I don't know. But I think that Nesmith is going to be the guy that contributes. And he needs to contribute right away. He's got that jump shot. He's the shooter. Shooting should translate. As he said in his post-draft remarks, the shot's not going to change. My preparation's not going to change. I'm going to take that same shot, and I'm going to be hitting shots at this level. Like, that's, it's very simple. The hoop is still 10 feet high. Some of the backdrops might change. Some of the depth of field is going to change. That's about it. If you're open, shoot it. And he's going to be the guy, again, 6'6", 6'10 wingspan. He's going to be a guy that can, at the very least, spot up corners, rotate behind a guy who drives to fill that spot, and catch some, you know, a couple of kickouts. That's what his job is going to be. There's no reason why he can't get 15 minutes a game and take a couple of shots and hit a couple of shots. You know what I mean? Like, there's just, that's something that he's going to have to, and I think he can do. But as Brad said, there's a lot to pick up. It's not just going stand in the corner and shoot. It's, oh my God, everybody that's closing out on me is huge. I'm not playing, I don't know, what is some of the crap teams that he played? Was it Canisius or some whatever? Like, you're not playing some guy who in 2 years is going to be off like running some office somewhere. You're not playing against a future accountant. You're playing against NBA players who are all 6'6". You know, all the guys that are going to be guarding him, 6'7", 6'8", that are fast and know how to close out. So he's definitely going to have something to get used to. But that shot, that jump shot is still a skill. That jumper is still a skill. He's also going to have to pick up the defensive stuff. He's also going to have to pick up where he's supposed to be. He has to know where other guys on the floor are going offensively. He's going to have to pick up the tendencies. When you're a shooter, you have to pick up the tendencies of the guys around you on offense. You know, hey, in this situation, Jason's going to go left, or Jason's going to do this. And if he does this, then the defense is going to react this way, and the hole is going to be right here. So as soon as I see him make this move, I'm going to go to this spot. And that's something that just comes with playing. That's something you have to learn. Every time you see a guy, if you're a shooter and you want to score, then you know if I'm spotting up, it's not just me spotting up right here. It's me noticing that this is where he likes to throw the ball. This is when he does this, he's going to turn and look, and I better be in his field of vision. So you can say stand in the corner, but where in the corner? Is it way down on the bottom of the corner? Is it a little further up, closer to the break? Where? Where are you going to get seen? How are you going to get seen? Do you need to slip and step inside the two-point line? Do you need to cut? When do you need to cut? It's nuance. That comes with playing. Now, Carson Edwards didn't play a ton last year, but he's got at least some sort of head start. We're looking for shooting here with the Boston Celtics. Carson Edwards knows, got to get out there, got to hit those shots. Now he says, I feel like I can help any way they ask me when they put me on the floor, whether that's being solid on defense and picking up and guarding my man well, being able to spread the floor and knock down shots, just anything they ask me to do. Every answer that he was asked, to questions that he was asked, had to do with just stay ready. Hey, what do you need to do? How'd you improve? I just trying to stay ready. Seriously, I'm not going to play you Carson Edwards media availability because it's just not worth the time. He didn't say anything much, but Carson Edwards out there trying to stay ready. I did think that it was it was interesting that, and I liked the answer to one of the questions where basically, how are you going to contribute? Says, I didn't really play much last year. I want to help my team prepare, whether that's at practice or whether that's through walkthroughs, when I'm in the game, so on and so forth. I like that Carson Edwards is, you know, thinking like, all right, how am I going to help this team? And we all like to think like, how is he going to help the team? Just standing in the corner, shooting or whatever, like I've been saying with Aaron Nesmith, go out there and play defense, get down low and all that stuff. But you can also help the team by, you know, defending the hell out of Aaron Nesmith or defending the hell out of Jeff Teague, you know, in practice. That is a contribution to the team. By challenging your teammates in practice, you do a couple of things. One, you get the attention of the coaches because they see how hard you're working. That's the first thing. Secondly, you're pushing your teammates. If you're defending a teammate better than they'd get defended in a game, that's just going to help. I like Carson Edwards' attitude. I like his approach. I hope and I wish I could see even the post-practice stuff, I wish I could see how he looks, if there's anything different to his shot or anything, because he's another guy. Brad Stevens is going to throw everything at the wall. He's just going to, whatever. Carson Edwards, still, even though we thought, you know, he might not be back with this team, you've heard stories throughout all of sports. Yeah, this guy's position was kind of like, and then he hit these shots and they believe in him and now he's, you know, a rotation guy. Like, that's not impossible. It's certainly something that could happen if he can hit those shots right away and not have to shoot himself into a rhythm. Up next, one of the side effects of COVID-19 and the NBA's plan here, and I'm just... this bugs me. The whole thing bugs me. And this is just one of these things that I didn't really think about. I'm going to talk about it when I come back.
Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
Hey, make sure you're subscribed to the Locked On NBA podcast. Not only is the big season preview coming up, but I host the show
on Wednesdays with Jake Madison. So get your full NBA scoop all week long, and I'm on Wednesdays. So subscribe, please, to the Locked On NBA podcast. I am not a fan of how things are going in the NBA. I don't like the fact that they rushed back. I don't like the fact that the schedule is condensed. I don't like any of this. I've said it before. I hate it. I hate it. I get it. Money is at stake. This is reality. Money is at stake. Billions of dollars are at stake. And when it gets right down to it, the billions of dollars win out. And the rest is, how do we figure out a way to do this? And hopefully it doesn't go poorly. But the NBA is a business, and these players want their money. Owners want their money. So they're playing basketball. Never mind the fact that COVID is just out of control and getting worse, completely out of control, worse than it's ever been. Forget the fact that the plan, this breakneck speed of the turnaround from starting next year to starting now, because you absolutely have to get back onto the schedule. And I get it. I get it. Basketball is a winter sport. People want their vacations. People want the habits to go back to where they were. You can't play basketball over the summer when people aren't watching TV. So you got to get back to your calendar. So not only are we putting players at risk for injury, not only are we putting players at risk for COVID, where we don't know what the long-term effects of contracting that, even if you're asymptomatic, we just don't know. We're costing people opportunities. We're changing lives for the worse, because guys who would normally get chances, at least an opportunity to be seen at the NBA level, they're not getting it. And Brad Stevens was asked about the Celtics potentially in the Red Claws not participating in however the G League is trying to restart. And one of the things he said was, I'm probably more concerned with the lack of bodies. Now, let me stop for a second and preface. Preseason, training camp, normally there's like 17 guys in camp. A few guys signing these Exhibit 10 contracts specifically to get cut and go to Maine and develop. It gives them a little extra cash, a little bonus to go do that. That's not available necessarily. The Celtics may not have a Red Claws season. So they're not filling their camp with these Exhibit 10 guys. So that means that it's just different for the Celtics. I'll continue with Brad, who says, it's just the lack of opportunities for guys. Usually we have three extra guys in here, and then, you know, they're going to go up to Maine and get to play a season and maybe find their way onto a 10-day and maybe be on an NBA team the next year. I hurt for those guys that are on the cusp of playing in the NBA or high-level Europe or whatever the case may be. Their next steps are in flux in a lot of ways. That's one of the things about this that I think is difficult. We obviously talk about all the people that are already in the NBA and all of us that are impacted by the schedule, but that's nothing compared to the guys that are just trying to hang on or find their way in. And I hate that these guys are going to get screwed. I hate it. The NBA is cruel. I've said this before. I'll continue to say it. The NBA is cruel. And there are few opportunities. 450 or so players by the time you factor in 10-day contracts and, you know, guys that come in and leave. It's about like 500 play over the course of the year or so. And there are thousands, hundreds more of players. You could take the bottom 100 players in the NBA and replace them with the next 100 guys that are waiting in line and still not really miss much of a beat. You know, there are a lot of talented players that are out there that are not getting NBA opportunities. Now, luckily, there are European opportunities, but this is life-changing stuff. These are guys with skills that could make them millions of dollars. And instead, through no fault of their own, they're not going to get these opportunities. And that's just a shame. And it pisses me off. Because I don't think it has to be like this. I don't know what the alternative is. I don't know if there's a way to get around what they're trying to do. But because they're not willing to spend the money, because they just want to get this back as fast as possible, they're screwing people out of opportunities. There are guys that are going to be out there that could have life-changing opportunities for them and their families. We just saw the video of Bam Adebayo buying his mom a house. One of these guys that is not going to get one of these Exhibit 10 contracts is going to be a guy that could have been in the NBA. We'll just never know. We'll never know. I'm bothered by that. I'm really bothered by that. I don't know. Maybe it's because I was a person who was, you know, always trying to fight for an opportunity. And when you know how hard these guys work to see those opportunities evaporate, just sucks. Just sucks. It really sucks. It bothers me so much. I'll leave it there. Because otherwise, I'm just going to keep complaining. I can keep complaining about this for half an hour, but I won't. You guys know that this is the case. Hopefully, some of these players get opportunities overseas, if that's even possible. Hopefully, they stick around and they get another chance some other way. But we'll see how that goes, how the G League season goes. But for now, the Celtics may not be participating in the G League season this year. We'll have to see if anything changes with that. Of course, I will be talking about everything Boston Celtics every day, Monday through Friday. So if you're a new listener, I hope you've enjoyed the show enough to subscribe. Regular listeners, I hope you've given me that 5-star rating and good written review. If you haven't, please do so. And share the podcast, if you will, please. Tell your friends that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.